I would invite you to turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This week, my heart's been heavy for people who've lost loved ones, who've suffered. I knew this week would be an emotional week for my wife. I didn't know how much it would affect me. And if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, her boss and mentor was murdered in that Covenant school shooting a year ago this week. And the beginning of the week, I sat down with her and we watched part of the memorial service. And her husband, KK's husband, gave the most beautiful, I don't even know what to call it, tribute or message. And I have never seen such an example of grace and poise. It was so evident that God helped him. And what the Lord put in his heart, it was clear, was that he would comfort all the people. There are a couple thousand people there probably. I don't know how many. And that's where his heart was, to comfort them, even though he had just lost his wife. And my heart this week had already been in the place of thinking about how the disciples must have felt. And I'm not trying to be depressing this morning. I'm trying to be real. When they lost Jesus, you see, before Jesus resurrected, he was treated in ways we can't imagine. He was abused. He was made fun of. He was beaten. He was killed. He was buried. They had to endure that confusion for 3 days. They had to endure that. What happened? He wasn't just somebody that they heard about. This was a man they followed around. When it says he was their master, their teacher, they sold everything they had. They gave up their homes, they left their families, and they literally walked behind this man through wilderness places and through paths and into different towns. And where he camped, they camped. Where he went, they went. And so when he died, it rocked their world. I don't know if we can understand, because we live in a time where we've always heard about Jesus raising from the dead. I don't know if we can really understand the depths of their despair. So as I begin this morning, this is what God has put in my heart as we start to tell us. Jesus came. The title of the message is Why Jesus Came. Part of why he came is to be what you need. The way he accomplished that was to go through something that none of us could have ever gone through. What he went through was deeper and heavier and more impossible than any pain we've ever felt. And that's how he can understand. He can be a faithful high priest. He's not unaffected by our weakness and our infirmity and our pain, because he felt it. Can you imagine how his disciples must have felt when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Can you imagine how they must have felt when he actually died? I think there were some of them that saw him go through all the pain, the mistreatment, the suffering, and they still thought, okay, it's about to stop. Because there were people who said, how could he heal all these sickness and help all these people and not keep himself from this? And so I want to tell you this morning, I've said this before, I believe in positive thinking, and I believe in having the right attitude, and I believe in a good mindset, but you need something more than that. It's not enough to just convince yourself you can make it. You need Jesus, because he has gone through something, he's been through something, and he understands what we need. This is a beautiful picture. Let's just read in John chapter 11. This is a picture of when some of Jesus' most dear friends went through terrible pain of loss. I'm just going to read. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. It's just a clarification. That hadn't happened yet. So the sister sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it."
Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll recover." Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant he was taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe or trust or know the truth. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." I need to pause here for a moment and help you understand. Thomas was not a negative Nancy or a pessimist or some. He was being real. They were, the Jewish rulers, actually trying to kill Jesus, and he really believed Jesus was going to his death there. And he said, "Let's go with him." That was the level of their devotion. And they thought that they were going to certain death. Now, the 17th verse, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." She didn't get it. Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Listen to this. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever hurt you have, whatever doubt, despair, pain, listen to this. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever trusts in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and trusts in me shall never die." Do you believe this? She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world." When she'd said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could he who opened the eyes of the blind not have kept this man from dying?" You see, that's their limited perspective. They don't understand what is possible with God. They think that he could have kept him well, but they don't understand he can raise a man who's been in the ground 4 days. They don't know that's possible. I want you to know there's things in your life that God can do that you don't even know are possible. Not because of something he's promised you someday, but because everything you need is in him. He says, "I am the resurrection." And this is not a promise of someday hope or future salvation. I hear people talk about that a lot. My ticket to heaven, or I'm going to be okay someday. If you know Jesus, you already are okay.
Amen.
If you're in him, there's nothing in the world that can really harm you. Do you know that? It might hurt. You might be sad. You might have pain. But you already have the promise. If you have Christ. Now listen to this. 38th verse. Then Jesus deeply moved again. I want you to know Jesus was going through the pain. He lost one of his best friends. He stayed there a couple extra days, even though it endangered his life, even though it wasn't yet time for him to die, because he wanted to comfort this family. Amen. He was courageous. Sometimes people run from that kind of pain. Jesus sat in it. He experienced, do you know that? He experienced it with them. Don't you see the mercy of Jesus in this? He could have just kept Lazarus from dying so he didn't have to feel that pain. Jesus, I mean. But he allowed himself to sit in the loss and the pain and the emotional turmoil that they were all feeling. I want to tell you, whatever you've lost, Jesus knows what it feels like.
Amen.
And some of you've lost, there's a lot of widowers here. Some of you've lost spouses. Some of you've lost children before, from our perception, they should have died. Some of you've lost parents. Some of you've lost brothers or sisters, aunts or uncles. Some of you maybe have lost something of your vitality. It was mentioned this morning, one of our dear sisters has lost part of her vision. I want you to know, I'm not saying God will just get rid of all that. I'm saying He is with you. He's with you in the pain. I never like to mention myself unnecessarily in sermons, but I think it's wrong not to when the Lord puts something on my heart. Some of you know some of my story, some of you don't. When I got married to my beautiful wife, 3 weeks later she got sick. A couple days later we're in the emergency room and she collapsed. A few days after that she's paralyzed from the neck down. Now that sounds dramatic. It is dramatic. It was traumatic. Yeah. It was something. I don't even know how to describe it. She's in the hospital 33 days, I think. And that was our life. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. Obviously, God healed her. We have a beautiful daughter and another child on the way by His grace. By His grace. Do you know that? He did something that I thought might not be possible because of what she went through. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Not look what my wife went through and look how she's okay now. That's not the point. The point is, at the darkest moments, the most discouraging, I'll just be honest. I'm a real person. We're in Vanderbilt Hospital. I'm laying by her bed and smelling the urine on the floor and miserable. I'm a germ phobe. She didn't know this, but I'm wondering, is she just about to stop breathing? Like this paralysis had gotten up to here and was just starting to affect her voice, and the next step would be her breathing. I thought I'd lose my wife. And God was with us in a way that was more powerful than the fact that He healed her. I don't know how to express that in words, but I'm telling you, what I'm impressed with is not that she's okay. I am overcome by how I felt the Lord's presence in the midst of that most trying time of our lives. Amen. And we look back on that. You know, she drives by the hospital and feels happy. She thinks, there's where all my buddies are. That's how God can change your perspective to see truth. Amen. That sounds terrible for newlyweds. Canceled our honeymoon. I had credit card points. We were going to go to Costa Rica for free. And that happened. And I traded in the credit card points and got a big ladder and a table saw. And I've used them a lot. But we still haven't gone to Costa Rica. But we had something better. We had our little 1 month anniversary in the hospital. I got to roll her up to the top of the parking garage in her wheelchair, and we watched the 4th of July fireworks. And then the day she got out, she put me in the wheelchair and walked. That's beautiful, but I'm telling you, it doesn't compare to the sustaining power of God in the midst of despair.
Amen.
Now, whatever you're going through, you have to give yourself permission to let Him be the resurrection for you. You might be saved, but if you're trying to skip the grief, if you're trying to process it on your own, if you're trying to handle it in your mind, if you're trying to be strong enough, you're not going to feel what He is. You don't feel Jesus holding you in His arms until you can't stand anymore. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't, you can. It's real. It is so real. And that's just one story from my life. I could tell you a lot more. You know that? And you probably can too, of God's sustaining power, of how, as He told that beautiful sister in the Bible, how he said, I am the resurrection and the life. She thought that he was promising her that someday Lazarus would experience something that would make it all okay. And he was saying, every bit of that is in me. In fact, it is me. That's what Jesus was saying. I preached a sermon recently that said Jesus is our everything. I don't know how to express. I actually mean that. He says, I'm the way. There is no other way. There's no denomination. I don't care what signs on your door. I don't care what family you're from. He's the way. He's the truth. There is no other truth. I've seen religious groups get wound up around the idea that they have the truth. You don't have the truth if Jesus is not present in it. Amen. He is the truth. There is nothing else apart from Him. And the rest of that three, there's perfection in the idea of three. The rest of those three things He said, I'm the life. There's no life apart from Jesus.
Amen.
There isn't. And that's why I'm telling you, I know I'm going to heaven someday. I knew my wife would be okay in that sense, spiritually. But do you know how it feels to have the life manifested in the midst of your death, of your darkness? Have you seen it? I see some heads nodding. Can we just praise Jesus for a minute? I just say thank you, Lord. God, you've rescued us from so much. Thank you. Thank you. Now, some of y'all might be saying, I don't think you're a Baptist. I don't care. I'm not worried about labels. I'm not worried about it. I'm thankful for who Jesus is, that He rescued us. You know, Scripture says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Why do we think it's holy to look miserable?
Yes.
I don't know. Let's keep reading this. Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave. A stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Does that remind you of anything? This was just a few days before His death. And He's given these people a picture of something so that they will be comforted when they lose Him. And they still didn't understand it. Roll away the stone. Yeah. And Martha said, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for He's been dead 4 days. Sometimes God wants to give us a deliverance, and we say, wait a minute, are you sure? Oh, how short-sighted we are. Excuse me one moment. Lord, by this time there will be an odor. He's been dead 4 days. And I love this because I've heard a bunch of phony prophets say they do something or they died and came back to life. And they're always talking about a few minutes. I died for 2 minutes. This guy was dead for 4 days. There was no doubt. His flesh was already rotting. That's what the smell was. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed or trusted, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. I knew that You always hear Me, but I said this on account of the people standing around that they might believe You sent Me. When Jesus had said these things, He cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Isn't that beautiful? Now, there's a big difference in Lazarus and Jesus. Yes. Jesus had to give Lazarus permission to be loosed from those symbolic wrappings of death. When Jesus was resurrected, He was gone. His grave clothes were left behind. Nobody had to give Him permission. Do you know that?
Yes.
He has power over death and the grave. Why did Jesus come? Why has He come? To be the resurrection and the life. Sometimes in life, things happen that are so painful, so difficult to bear. And sometimes in those times, we may wonder, why did God let this happen? You know, that's people who aren't surrendered to the will of God, or they say, I'm not a believer. I don't like that phrase because it doesn't capture the depth of it. But they're not Christians. This is why, a lot of times. Why does God let bad things happen? Why does He let pain happen? They don't understand it. And sometimes these things are so heavy. But in those moments, we fail to see the bigger picture. We may not understand, and maybe in this life we'll never fully understand. But I want you to know, with time and the illumination of the Holy Spirit, we began to see a bit more of the depth of God's plans and purposes. The things we experience are for a greater purpose. Oh, they might feel unbearable at the time, but there's a purpose. Do you know that? We quote this scripture from Romans, all things that work together for good, for them that love God and are called according to His purpose. I want to tell you something. I don't necessarily believe that, but I know it.
Amen.
I'm convinced of that in my spirit, even when it doesn't make sense in my head, because I've seen it. I've lived it. I have never seen a tragedy. I've never seen pain or brokenness that God can't redeem. And you know what He does? He doesn't, just like He didn't keep Himself from pain, He doesn't exempt us from human suffering. He redeems it.
Amen.
For a reason. So that we might have mercy on those who are suffering. So that we might... You know, every pain I've ever had in my life has helped me relate to somebody else.
Yes.
Do you know that? I don't just mean relate. I mean minister to them.
Yes.
With the power of God. In ways that would have been impossible if I hadn't been through something similar. That's why Scripture tells us not to be afraid of these temporary sufferings, which are nothing compared to the glory which will be revealed in us later. It just literally doesn't matter. I'm not talking about an attitude adjustment. I'm talking about reality. That's the truth. I love this passage. It ties in. Therefore, since this is from Romans 5, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with Jesus? There's no peace apart from Him. Through Him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Can you do that? This is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about something fake. I'm talking about what I just described to you. I'm talking about how Mary and Martha and Lazarus were going around after that, rejoicing in the suffering they had just been through, saying, "Can you believe what this man delivered him from?" That's what I'm talking about. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I know it's hard, brothers and sisters. I know sometimes you hurt. I know some of you are going through some really hard things right now. And maybe some of you have shared it a little bit with me. Some of you probably, you may have some pain inside that you haven't even told anybody about. And I want to tell you, Jesus came to be your comfort. He said this to His apostles, His disciples who were following Him around like little sheep. He said, "I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage, or it's good for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, He will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him, the Holy Spirit, to be in fellowship with you." Do you know that? Jesus came to live as a man, to experience everything it is to be human, and went away. But He didn't. He said, "I won't leave you comfortless." He sent a person, His Holy Spirit, to live inside of you and comfort you. I've never been through anything God couldn't comfort me in, except my own stubbornness. Anybody know what I'm talking to? He can't comfort stubbornness. He has to crush that. And pride. The stubbornness is just a different category of pride. He has to crush it. But when you get broken enough, He will comfort you in anything. Not only did He come to be your comfort, but He came to be your strength. I want y'all to know, oftentimes I've prayed. This is one of my most common prayers as a young man. "Lord, give me strength," or "show me what you want me to do," or "help me know what I should do." And those are okay prayers, but they're immature. Those are prayers of youth, because you have a little time with God and you realize all of your strength is an illusion. You realize what He told Paul, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And you stop praying for God to make you strong and you just simply start saying,
as a declaration of truth, God, you are my strength.
Yes.
Now what David prayed, you're my strength and my song. This is not a mind shift. This is something God does inside of you, is what I'm telling you. I can't tell you can't do this on your own. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Listen to this translation, New Living Translation of that verse. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Where do you think you're going to find new strength? God will give it to you when you trust in Him. He came to be your comfort. He came to be your strength. He came to be your hope. And I mentioned this, but what Jesus gives is not just a future hope or someday salvation. He gives us Himself now. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. Some of y'all have lived that. Some of you are still trying to be strong on your own. And here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying like you're bad or something. I'm saying you're missing out. You're missing out. I tell my sweet little 3-year-old precious daughter when she's being stubborn, sweetheart. This is what I tell her. This is a conversation I should have with you when you're a teenager, not when you're 3. But you're making your life harder than it has to be right now. We do that. But I tell her in love, but doesn't God try to tell us the same thing? Sweetie, you're making your life harder than it has to be. You're hurting more than you have to. I don't want this for you. Just lean on me. Let me pick you up and carry you down the stairs so you don't fall on your head. That sort of thing. And she hasn't done that. By the way, some of y'all worried she fell on her head. She hasn't. But that's what God, He wants to carry us through the trials and tribulations and pains of life. And we say, I'm going to do it myself, like a 3-year-old. Why? Why do we do that? I won't answer that question. You dwell on it. David said this as well. He said, the Lord, and Jesus had not yet come yet, but he saw the promised Christ in the heart of God. He knew Jesus was coming. And he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This is a man who killed Goliath, the enemy giant. Somebody bigger and scarier than we can imagine. He didn't do it in his own strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation. David didn't see with his own eyes. He saw with the light of God. He didn't save himself. He had deliverance from God. He didn't mitigate his own fear through some type of paradigm shift. He had God help him with his fear.
Amen.
Jesus came to be your comfort, your strength, your hope. He also came to be your life. John 1 tells us, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. Jesus said in John 5:21, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom He will.
Yes.
Has Jesus given you life? He can. If you don't have life, you can get life. How do you get life? By becoming His child.
Amen.
That's something that actually happens and changes your life. He came to be your light so that through Him you might see, or I should say more accurately, so that in Him you might have sight. You try to understand the world, the pains, the sufferings. This is why people can't understand. Why do bad things happen to good people? You know why they can't understand? Because they're not seeing with the light of Christ. You have to be in Him to be able to see, to understand why the world's like it is. Jesus said, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. He came to light the path of everyone who would seek Him. You know what happens when you seek the light? Do you know? The darkness in your own heart is chased away. And that is uncomfortable. Everyone who loves the light comes to the light. Why? That his deeds might be reproved. You come to the light of Jesus, it's so he can tell you how wrong you are. And then he can pick you up like a daddy and hold you in his arms. You know, the few times I have to discipline her, I pick her up and hold her and say, I love you. You know that? That's what God wants to do. None of his discipline is harsh to his children. If you think that, you don't understand who God is. He came to be your salvation. Salvation's found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. This denomination we're affiliated with talks a whole lot about getting saved. And I think we're missing something using that language. It's so much deeper than I got saved. I don't even say that. Because whoever is made new in Christ, old things are passed away, everything is new. You don't just get saved, you become one with Christ. And you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Jesus says, if anyone is in me, old things have passed away, everything is new. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Some people, they made a decision because they were taught this. I've been surrounded by people ever since the Lord saved me. I remember conversations in high school where I told people about how God transformed me. And they would look at me, sincere Christian kids, and they would say, I've never had anything like that happen. But when I was at Bible school, I believed and signed a card. Listen, whatever you've done, if you got saved, you think, or you had an emotional experience, or you believed and signed a card, or you got baptized, are you in Christ? Do you know what it feels like to go through the hardest or the best times of life, and He's right there with you? Not my faith. I hear people talk about, they'll say, how'd you make it through that hard time? And they'll say, my faith. Let me tell you something. I've been through enough that my faith is not enough. My faith is worthless. And it doesn't do anything. My Jesus. I think about sweet sister Helen, brother Steve's mama. She used to say when she testified, and she was an old lady by then, in that crackling elderly voice about my Jesus. Is He your Jesus? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? And more importantly, does He know you? The final point. Maybe we could get a song. Somebody. Maybe somebody has a song on your heart. Let's just see. But the final point. He came to overcome death. The only one who can do that is the one who has the power over death and the grave. The one who has power over life and death. Everything that is significant about Jesus, hear me on this, everything that matters about Him, which is everything, everything about Jesus matters. Everything that matters about Him is in Him. He didn't give us a thing. He didn't give us a system. He didn't give us a routine to follow. He didn't even give us a church in that sense. He gave us Himself. Not just in what He's done, but in who He is. Who is He to you today? Is He your Savior? Is He your comforter? Is He your best friend? Or is He just some religious guy you heard about with a halo over His head that you believe in, kind of like some other fairy tale? I want you to know Jesus is so much more real than that. Amen. He can be your everything. Whatever you need today. I don't usually give altar calls, but I want to invite you to pray. If you don't know the Lord, you can. You know how you know Him? You got to be born from above. You know how you get born from above? Through Jesus. Not me. And I can't tell you when it happens. That's a supernatural work of God, just like the wind that Jesus explained goes this way and that way. You don't know exactly how it comes or where it goes or how it works, but it happens and you know it's there. That's how the Holy Spirit works. But I also want to tell you today, sometimes the saved people, we admonish lost people to seek the Lord, and we don't do the same thing. Yeah. Some of you are carrying around pain and brokenness, and you're carrying it around because you haven't given it to Him. If you need to do that this morning, you can. I'm finished with the message. Let's have a song as we let those words dwell in your hearts.